Good evening, fellow Wahoos and other ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, good old number 33, Jim Hobgood.
Yes, indeed. I'm right here.
As always, we take you behind the scenes to take a closer look at Wahoos and the UVA sports program. Lately, the Hoos are battling to earn their sixth ACC win. It's been a long time coming, hopefully tonight. They got a big game tonight against Miami. Hopefully, the Hoos can break through. Jim and I are going to cover the latest basketball news, the UVA baseball team's amazing ascension to number one in the nation, and a variety of other topics this evening. As always, we're glad that you've joined us.
Man, you can tell this is a Virginia show. Ascension? Nice big old word there. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly what it means. It must be good, though. But anyway, this is Jim. We have an exciting show lined up for you tonight. As always, we're delighted to have former UVA guard and teammate of mine, Tim Rash, is one of our guests tonight. He'll be joining us shortly to talk a little basketball. And at the bottom of the hour, we will also have another former UVA great Jimmy Miller, who will come join us for his second visit to talk a little bit about the team struggles and his days in particular. I won't want to discuss with Jimmy the Georgetown game back in 83, the trip to Tokyo, and so forth. It'll be interesting to get his feedback on that. But at any rate, Frank will now tell you how you can follow Who's Talking.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send their questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com, or you can call us at 804-345-0910. All shows are archived on thesaber.com. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome, and in fact, we integrate many of those comments into the show from week to week.
Ascension and now integrate. I'm telling you, this is a Barnes & Noble night.
I tell you, I'm working hard at this.
You must have a Virginia degree from somewhere, you know. Well, Frank, the good old University of Virginia basketball team, since we last were here, has suffered through another two very difficult losses. And the Hoos now stand at 14-11 overall, as you said earlier, a five-game losing streak. And that 5-2 ACC record has turned into 5-7. Heading into tonight's game down in Coral Gables against the University of Miami. So we're going to be joined shortly by Tim Rash, and I will give a bio of him momentarily. The one thing we wanted to start mentioning early on tonight was at 7 o'clock tonight, we are going to be joining our friends and fans out at Short Pump Fridays. We'll be out there to watch the basketball game, Virginia-Miami. It'll be on several televisions out at the restaurant. Terry Gates, Bobby Goodman, other notables are expected. We'll have some door prizes and all sorts of things like that. And I think Frank may be even leaving a little early to get out there and welcome people as they arrive.
Well, we have some Saber Edge subscription certificates for the first 20 people that arrive tonight. We've also got some cool autographed UVA items that I think everybody will enjoy, courtesy of our good friends at the VAF. And we've also got a drawing for some other door prizes.
Well, and hopefully what we'll have at the by about 9 o'clock tonight is a Virginia win, which is desperately needed. But beyond the win, they need to just figure out a way to compete, particularly on the road against some of these tough ACC opponents. And, of course, Virginia beat Miami earlier in the year in Charlottesville, but Miami's played much better in recent weeks. So going to be a difficult assignment for the Hoos tonight down in Coral Gables. But momentarily we'll be joined, hopefully, by Tim Rash. Tim Rash is a Richmond native. He went to Manchester High School, arrived in Charlottesville with a recruiting class that included himself, Chip Miller from Lexington, Virginia, Frank DeWitt from outside of Pittsburgh, and Scott McCandless from upstate New York. And the four of them really formed the core group that helped build the foundation of the Barry Parkhill era in Charlottesville. And one of the things we want to talk to Tim tonight about is not only this year's team, but the building of a program, which he and his classmates were able to do. Tim, I think we got you on the line. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, let's start. I want to talk to you about your days in Charlottesville, but let's also talk about the current team. What's your assessment of the situation as we currently stand at 14-11 and 5-7?
Well, you know, we've run into a tough stretch here. All these games we've had and the rescheduled Maryland game, I think it's been a little tough on us. Most of the games being on the road, that's also very difficult. And we just haven't competed as well as I know that Coach would like to have competed. So, you know, it's been a tough stretch.
Yeah, some real offensive struggles for this team at the moment. You know, I think teams in the league certainly are keen on Mike Scott and Sylvan Landisberg, which requires some of the other guys to step up and haven't really been able to do it in recent games.
Yeah, I think those other guys on the perimeter are going to have to start, you know, obviously shooting better than they've been shooting. And it would be nice if we could get a few, you know, 40-plus percent in three-point shots out there. I think they would take a lot of pressure off of Landisberg and Scott and free up some things. And, you know, they just need to shoot a better percentage. I don't know how you teach guys to shoot a better percentage, but that's what needs to be done.
Tim, this is Frank. Glad to have you on the show. You know, I was looking through the media guide this week, and, you know, one of the things I noticed is, you know, when you first arrived in Charlottesville, Virginia was struggling a great deal. And, you know, I vaguely remember Virginia basketball from those days. You know, your early years, you know, Virginia was lucky to win 10 games. And then I noticed by the time you were finishing up, you guys won 21 games together. And Jim has already outlined some of your teammates. And then obviously he had guys like he and Barry followed up. And then ultimately Gus Gerard and Wally Walker followed them. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to go to UVA in those days and try to help turn that program around.
Well, we weren't very good in the early days, I can tell you that. But we had four guys that were recruited, my other three classmates that you've talked about, McCandlish and DeWitt and Chip Miller. And, you know, I think we all wanted to try to turn things around. And, you know, we worked hard, and we helped recruit Barry and Jim and some other guys. We were very lucky that there was a pretty good player named Chip Case there when we were sophomores, who actually got an extra year of eligibility for medical reasons. And we had Bill Gary, who was a very strong forward, and you know, those kind of things blended our team well. But you know, even so, as we had a lot of success, we had those road games at the end of the season where things were very difficult for us. So that's, you know, it's kind of the difference between maybe competing a little better in the conference and ending up going to the NIT back then.
Yeah, Tim, you talk about the selfless nature. I can remember being a recruit in Charlottesville and Frank DeWitt. And, of course, Frank and I kind of played the same position. And we were both from Western Pennsylvania, Frank a year ahead of me when I was being recruited. But I remember him saying when I was on my recruiting visit, Jim, we really want you to come, even though that means I'll probably play less. So that was the kind of attitude that that group had as they tried to build a program. Now, Tim, Tony Bennett's trying to do the same thing right now, maybe not starting from as deep a hole as you guys did, but talk a little bit about what he's trying to do and how it might be similar and how it might be different for Tony Bennett to have the same success building a program.
Well, obviously he's got to play with the hand he's been dealt right now, and he's doing the best he can with that and trying to bring along some of the hopefully bring along some of the younger players. You know, I don't know whether we were lucky or not, Jim, but we didn't play as freshmen. That started kind of right after our class. So, you know, we had that year to practice with the varsity and mature a little bit. They don't have that luxury anymore. I know Tony's got a very strong class coming in for next year. I think he's talking to some really good juniors now that would be coming in for the next year. And we got a lot of holes to fill. We've got a great facility up there. There's no reason that, you know, a guy like Tony Bennett, a really, really good stand-up guy. I like him a lot. And I think, you know, there's no reason he's not going to be able to build the program.
Yeah, I mean, you and I and a few others were able to go up there last spring at the invitation of Barry Parkhill to meet Coach Bennett and his staff. And every time I've encountered him, I just get more and more impressed. And I know people are probably a little frustrated right now with the 5-game losing streak. But my feeling is you look in the long term, things are very bright for the Virginia basketball program going forward.
Well, they appear to be. Like I said, he's got a long ways to go, and, you know, people are probably judging him a little bit too early by the results of this year. I mean, whether it was in the early part of the year when we had a lot of success, or lately because we haven't had that much success. But, you know, people are going to have to give him some time, let him build his program his way. He's been successful everywhere he's been. His dad was a great teacher for him. He was a great player himself. So I think we just got to give him a little bit of time, and, you know, I think the result's going to pay off.
Tim, looking at just the way things are breaking down in the ACC, and probably you remember your days, you know, there used to be a pecking order, and it seems like all of a sudden this year the pecking order has been thrown, you know, just crazy. I mean, Carolina is 3-9 in the conference. NC State is 3-10, and I remember back when you and Jim and those guys were playing, that was anything but the case.
Well, there's no question. Carolina was a class of the league back when we played. Duke was actually on a little bit of a slide. Fortunately, we were able to take advantage of that back in those days. But, you know, over time, Duke's, you know, always been at the top of the league. I think Carolina's going to come back. I'm surprised that this year is anybody else. I mean, I know they got a lot of young players and they've had a lot of injuries, but I thought they would compete a little better. But the rest of the, you know, there's a whole bunch of the league. I think Maryland's done a phenomenal job this year. Georgia Tech, I don't know, you know, they're up and down. Wake Forest kind of the same way, just when you think they're going to win. Clemson, I've just got a tremendous amount of athleticism on that team. And then sometimes I wonder how they lose games. But, you know, they're a little reckless and they're going to lose games.
Some of the teams in the league have difficulty making free throws, which is part of the problem. But at any rate, Tim, we generally ask everybody a favorite memory or two from your playing days.
Well, I guess my number one favorite memory would have to be when we played my sophomore year. We played North Carolina. They were the number one seed. We were the number eight seed in the ACC tournament, and we beat them. In our first round game, they had Charlie Scott and an all-star cast of players, and that was our first big breakthrough in the tournament, and we ended up winning two more tournament games in my career in the first round. So that was a big deal. And probably another big deal was there was a week during our senior year, your junior year, Jim, when, you know, we just, we beat four ACC teams in a row, including South Carolina, who was ranked number two in the country at that time. And, you know, that was a pretty special week, and it led to us going to the NIT, which back then was a pretty big deal.
Of course. Tim, we've got about a minute or so to go in this segment, and just wondered about your golf game. Everybody told me, oh, Tim's a deadly golfer, so I'm told you have to give us a lot of strokes. Jim and I don't get to play a lot of golf, so...
Well, you know, I tell people I play everybody even the first time until I get to know how they play.
What kind of handicap are you carrying?
I'm carrying about a two right now.
Oh,
yeah. It would be nice to play again. I think I've played one time since October.
Well, all you got to do is get some colored balls. Go out to the miniature golf course and get some colored balls. You can find it in that white snow out there. But yeah, back in the of course, Barry Parkhill's a very, very good golfer. Bob McCaig. We had a number of guys on the team back in that day that played well, but nobody as well as Tim. He's outstanding.
Tim, we've got to head to break, and Jim and I are thrilled that you could have joined us tonight, and we'd like to have you come back later, maybe towards the end of basketball season, and give us your take on the overall accomplishments. It's obvious that you're following the team, and maybe you can compare Tony Bennett to Hoot Gibson from those exciting years when you played.
Okay. And I'm not sure Tony wants to be compared to the Hoot, but, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And more importantly, you haven't talked enough about how good Hobbo was.
Hobbo was the rifleman from Uniontown. That's all I'll say.
Tim, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Have a great night, Tim.
All right. We're going to our first break. We will be back after the break with our first Capital play of the day or play of the game, as well as we're going to move up Frank Maloney's sports update into the second segment, and then we'll explain why when we come back.